at the heart of repentance is indeed a change of direction.
Pastor Peter Bender speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But the change of direction begins at the fundamental level of the human person, the heart itself, which the scriptures describe as the seat of faith. We are conceived and born in sin since Adam's fall. And therefore, we are bent against God. We have no natural love for God. We have no natural trust for God. And the one we trust in is ourselves.
You can listen to Pastor Bender's presentation, Making the Case for Lutheran Piety, and all of the speakers at our 2017 conferences on an audio DVD. It contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. The least surprising thing about Newsmax magazine's 100 most influential evangelicals in America is the number one evangelical in America in terms of influence. Even at 99 years old, his influence cannot be denied, at least in the past, and that is Billy Graham. Second on their list is one of his sons. And the list goes on all the way down to 100. There are a lot of names that you would know. Most of the top 10 are actually household names, and some aren't exactly evangelicals, and some may not, at least in terms of what the church confesses as orthodox doctrine, be even Christian. So what does evangelical mean? What does that word influence or influential mean when Newsmax puts together its 100 most influential evangelicals in America? Joining us to discuss this list, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
People have been struggling with the term evangelical for a long time, now struggling to define it or to figure out what it does actually mean. What do we learn about the term from Newsmax's top 100 evangelicals in America list?
Well, I'm not sure what we learn about it, but let me back up for just a second and say this is something I've been struggling with now for multiple decades. In fact, this week I wrote, I think, my third or fourth column that basically sets out to say, okay, what does the word evangelical mean? And along the way, I've interviewed some really interesting people and have asked them that question, the foremost of which, and I think you and I have talked about this before, the foremost of which is Billy Graham. Back in the mid to late 1980s, I had a chance to interview him for most of a day before he came to Denver for the Rocky Mountain Crusade. And in the midst of that interview, I asked Billy Graham what the word evangelical means. And what I thought was fascinating, and I've thought this ever since, is that Graham said he had no idea what the word evangelical means. Now, what does that say to you?
Wow. It either tells me that the Reverend Graham doesn't care for the term or what it had become, or that he's as confused as the rest of us.
Well, I think
for the man who probably in many minds defines what an evangelical in America is supposed to be or used to be.
Yeah, and so that's what I said right back to him when he said that. I said, sir, in all candor, if you don't know what the word evangelical means, what the, you know, and he kind of laughed, and it became very apparent that the word evangelical had already changed so much into a cultural term that he felt uncomfortable with that, because he immediately started, he set out to try to define the word in doctrinal terms. And that's, frankly, if you go online and look up a bunch of definitions, you'll find all kinds of attempts to define what are the core doctrines of evangelicalism. Graham said that obviously there's fundamentalism and then there's evangelicalism, and somewhere in between you have kind of a a parting of the ways on how they defined the authority of Scripture. Graham said that he thought that if someone believes the doctrines, believes in the truth, the historical truth of the doctrines contained in, say, the Nicene or Apostles' Creed, their view of Scripture was high enough that he would consider them an evangelical. We can get into a long argument at that about that. I thought was fascinating, though, was he was struggling to keep the word doctrinal. Now, from the rest of that interview, I know where this impulse was coming from. Part of it was his own kind of American prominence in terms of culture, media, politics, and whatever. But Graham had been spending an increasing amount of time with evangelicals and other kinds of Christians from around the world. And it was clear that the minute you start talking to people in China and Latin America and Asia and Africa and all, you know, all over the place, when you start talking with them about the meaning of the word evangelical, a lot of the baggage the term already had in the late 1980s, a lot of that baggage falls off, which brings us back to the Newsmax list. Would you think we've added any new baggage to the meaning of the term evangelical in the last decade or so? Or how about the last 18 months? So when you read this list, I mean, Billy Graham's there at number one. Franklin Graham's there at number two. And I don't think Franklin would consider himself the second most prominent evangelical in America, but that's neither here nor there. The minute you start listing the others, let me just read the rest of the top 10. Joel Osteen, Mike Huckabee, Pat Robertson, Rick Warren, Jerry Falwell Jr., Joyce Meyer, Vice President Mike Pence, and the sort of religious Hollywood power duo of Mark Burnett and Roma Downey. Now, you read off through the rest of the 100, and it quickly becomes apparent that what this is a list of is famous people called evangelicals, and fame is primarily obtained through politics and media. I was interviewing Thomas Kidd, a historian at Baylor University, who had just all kinds of sharp things to say, a lot of which, you know, I'm not able to get into the column. But one of the things he said was basically there are only six or seven names on this list that you would not expect to show up on Fox News. And I thought that was a very interesting context. For example, he mentioned that John Piper, the very famous Calvinist scholar and thinker, writer, etc., John Piper is on the list at 22. Now, I'm trying to think of a context in which John Piper would show up as a Fox special analyst and can't come up with one unless we're, I don't know, biblical references. Let's do him the justice of saying he doesn't belong in that context, which is what makes his name so strange in this list. Basically, we've decided at this point that evangelicalism has something to do with being born again, and what that means doctrinally, we don't know, but it's way handier to settle on it as a polling word in political polls, because we all know that, as the popular writer David French told me, we all know that this is actually a tribal term to describe white Christian Republicans.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about an inclusion and an omission, in my opinion, from this top 100 list from Newsmax. The inclusion of a non-evangelical, Robert George, who is in fact a Roman Catholic, and what appears to me to be the omission of Dr. Albert Mohler.
That's a great point. I think Mohler in terms of a maven of ideas and spreading of ideas, he would certainly be, you know, in any list of prominent evangelicals. But once again, you're describing evangelical as a set of doctrines and ideas. Now, Robbie George is a fascinating inclusion, and it harkens back to the fact that the Time magazine list of, what was that, the top 25 most powerful evangelicals? Years ago, they came up with the top 25 list, and it included several Catholics, including Rick Santorum. And when I called the magazine up and asked kind of why that was, the telling phrase from the person in their public relations office was, well, the editor said that Santorum votes like an evangelical. Which, once again, what does that say? Now, obviously, Robbie George is in this list because he is influential among evangelicals. Thus, that makes him an evangelical, even though he's a Roman Catholic. And the list includes some people who are parts of Pentecostal movements or backgrounds in which they might not even agree on the Trinity. So a confluence of Pentecostal with evangelical is another doctrinal snare, you know, in this list. And then one other thing you just have to note, this list is so heavily weighted to the old guard of the religious right from the Reagan and post-Reagan era, and seems totally unaware of the role that someone like an Al Mohler would play in modern evangelicalism. I mean, just a name that jumped out at me, Ralph Reed is still at number 25. I mean, has anybody even heard from Ralph Reed in a long time? I mean, not to put the guy down or something, but what's his power base right now? Or if you were going to say that this has something to do with the sharing of ideas, what's he doing there? I know, you know, when Ralph Reed is number 25 and Russell Moore of the Southern Baptist Convention is all the way down at 92, what's this about? I think it's just about fame within a certain cultural brand of conservatism.
So it's not just what does evangelical mean, it's what does influential mean.
That's and the name of this poll from Newsmax, Newsmax's 100 Most Influential Evangelicals. Yes, what does the word evangelical mean? But also, as you just said, what does influential mean? I think you would have to conclude that influential has something to do with stuff that shows up in polls. I mean, in what sense of the word as an evangelical leader is Sarah Palin at number 11? And then you scroll down and down and down and down and down, and you end up with someone like Eugene Peterson at 91 and Sarah Palin at 11. I also thought it was kind of interesting how backwards or old even some of the attempts at having evangelical liberals in the list. I mean, there are evangelicals who are liberal, and some of them make it into this list. Jen Hatmaker appears in the list, for example. I'm sure that was because of the controversies, you know, about her stance on gay marriage. And Jim Wallace makes it into the list at 75. But don't you assume that Jim Wallace is there primarily because of the fame he gathered in conjunction with politics, as opposed to his actual kind of, frankly, more substantial role as a social justice activist and his actual work in Washington, D.C., which, you know, will outlast his influence as an advisor to Barack Obama. So what I came away from this and what I'm trying to say in my column is, at some point, shouldn't we say that it matters whether the term evangelical has something to do with church and what, this is just really old-fashioned of me, might the word evangelical have something to do with like salvation and what takes place in churches on Sunday morning? Just throwing that out there.
I wanted to ask you about, you had mentioned kind of a right-leaning there. Tony Campolo does not make the list.
That's an interesting one.
And he is decidedly evangelical. He just is left of center in evangelicalism. I don't know about doctrinally, but certainly in terms of his emphases and his politics. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's exactly right. And then among young people, they've also clearly missed the influence of someone like a writer like Jonathan Merritt, who I think if you're talking about who's steering a lot of debates within evangelicalism right now, his name would have to be somewhere near the top of the list, and because of the ideas he puts into play writing for both The Atlantic and Religion News Service and elsewhere. I mean, would Eugene Peterson be a controversial figure right now in evangelicalism if not for Jonathan Merritt's writing about his kind of wrestling, spiritual and personal wrestlings with issues of sexual morality and what's, you know, what's sinful and what isn't? And on it goes. I know that these sorts of lists are created to create debate, but I just want to stress again, in the end, I kept wondering, this was Billy Graham's struggle already in the 80s. In what sense is the word evangelical simply about defining a cultural tribe or even a particular set of niche media and political properties, so to speak, or products? Or in what sense does the word evangelical define a school of thought within historical Christianity? The way you would say in the history of the Church of England that the evangelical wing of the Church of England believes such and such. Now, you can look that up in a book, and it will tell you what the evangelical wing of the Church of England believes. If you go to Africa and you talk to evangelical Anglicans, they will know very specifically what they believe in terms of doctrine. I think it says something sort of sad about America that here it all comes down to media popularity and whether you show up in political polls.
Terry,
I'm not sure that's good for the future.
You're often critical of the mainstream media because they view religion through the lens of politics.
Yeah.
Is it discouraging to see a conservative media outlet like Newsmax making the same mistake?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm depressed as heck about the fact that many evangelicals view the world of religion primarily through a lens of politics. If this starts turning into something that dominates the pulpit lives of pastors, and it really begins to take over Sunday morning to where these things are discussed in terms of politics, instead of even why we believe what we believe. Let me take an obvious issue. Why do we believe what we believe about the sanctity of human life? Is that a doctrinal matter or is that a political matter? And you can see how something like that leads directly into discussions about to what degree have evangelicals settled for a bowl of porridge when it comes to embracing political leaders whose moral standing or their actions may not fit.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, and he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Terry also spoke at one of our 2017 Making the Case conferences, and you can listen to his presentation, Making the Case for News Discernment, on a new conference audio DVD. It includes almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching from our summer and our fall conferences. We'll send it to you for a recommended year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Order by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also order online. Just click the audio DVD image on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues, etc., we're going to respond to listener email and the Issues, etc. comment line, and we'll also look forward to the Day of Thanksgiving as a liturgical event with Pastor David Peterson. Thursday, we're going to study the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest. Then Friday on Issues, Etc., we'll discuss the three estates, church, family, and government. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.